Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is your host, astrologer Shelley Antine. And this week we've got a new moon coming, a Gemini new moon that arrives if you're in the Eastern time zone on Father's Day morning at 12:37 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I have recorded a podcast for this. It's a 17-minute podcast, and you can find it on the blog page. And this week, we also have Saturn's retrograde, and that is Saturday. Like it's right before the new moon and Father's Day, 1:27 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, now I'm going to talk about that first, because as we go through this week, that is the other major situation that we will encounter. And you may need to remember this or listen to this more than once. So having it up top before I do the weekly astrology forecast will probably make it easier to deal with. So what do I want to say about this? Well, it's interesting that it's not long after Pluto went back into Saturn's sign of Capricorn. And, you know, Saturn moving retrograde is going to take us back over things. Saturn retrograding in Pisces will not go back into Aquarius. It will go to 0 degrees of Pisces before it goes direct, and it will be direct. Let me just get you that exact date. It's going to be not as long as you might think. November 4th is when it goes direct at zero Pisces, all right? So its retrograde degree is 7 degrees Pisces. Now, this is important, because what it's telling us is everything that happened since the entrance, which was in March, the beginning of March, of Saturn into the sign of Pisces. I guess you could say it was the March 8th, looks like a time. Maybe like a couple of minutes before midnight on the 7th, but generally, that's when the Saturn and Pisces energy began to be felt. So you, as an individual, may be looking back at things about that time frame, beginning of March till this Father's Day in June. So the house that it went into is going to receive that retrograde and go back over once again some of those things that were happening. And so on the outer world level, we will certainly see the same. Now, Saturn, as we know, is from many different descriptions, he is considered the Lord of Karma. And that's because we have structures in life, and structures do manifest according to how we input our thoughts and feelings. Even structures in our body are going to relate to how we're thinking and behaving. So certainly the outer world area that Saturn rules, Capricorn, things like government and corporations and authorities on many levels. Also, the place that we had the paradigm shift when Saturn joined Pluto in Capricorn, we were going to be shaking the tree so hard in Capricorn, because Capricorn is that structure place that doesn't want to change things, wants everything to follow the rules and regulations and what the societal consensus is agreeing to, etc. and so forth. And the societal consensus has agreed to a level of hierarchy for thousands of years. And people at the top of that level of hierarchy, it might be you, don't want things to change, right? So if we're going to be shifting as we're being asked to evolve in human consciousness to the remembering of when there was greater equality and when we did realize that we were connected to all things in relationship and that we couldn't just be without anything and have the world be the way it is, this would be an aspect of memory. But this has been suppressed for so long and controlled so that we think that we can wipe out a rainforest, you know. We think we have dominion over things, or someone has dominion. You know? So this is a difficult place to shift a paradigm. It's not going to go easy. It's not going to go quietly. It's going to go... It will go, but it's going to be, you know, shaking everything it can shake and try to assert and assert and assert as much as possible before we will see an end to it. So now Saturn had gone through Aquarius, and we started to see a lot of things about this come up in Aquarius. You know, the people started rising up again, sort of like in the good old days of the 60s, when all these forward movements were being put out there for, you know, really the first time in the history, at least of our country. This was what we went through, and also we had issues with communications. You know, and now we have Saturn into Pisces, where historically there's an emphasis on the downtrodden. People will rise up to demand, and there will be movements made toward giving them things that they need. So what have we seen, though, at the beginning of Saturn into Pisces? It's been very fascinating. I don't know where you're listening from, but the United States is, you know, a little bit too interesting, if you ask me right now. I mean, I used to not have to pay attention to politics at all. Those days are over. It seems like you really need to know what's going on. There was a threat to the actual country and as a whole, a defaulting of the ability to pay our bills. And, you know, people who were pushing for certain cuts to major benefits for humans, resisting the hierarchical demand of, you know, how about the people who have all the money and don't put anything in the pot? You know, this is just, it seems, I don't know, for me, there's like a certain level of strangeness to the fact that that's not easily seen by everyone. But, you know, this is how it is. And this is, again, because of the thousands of years of hierarchical belief system, you know. And so it's just an issue now because we're in Pisces with Saturn. You know, what are we going to do? Are we going to have ourselves use a spiritual level, which Pisces is, you know, to be aware of the structures in terms of how they are reflecting higher level consciousness or not. And so, you know, we could take a look at these things that have come up during that first passage of Saturn in Pisces. Now, you know, to an extent, we were saved from the brink. I mean, we cannot even in the United States imagine what would have happened had we not been able to come to the agreement we came to. And how would that have affected not just this country, but other countries as well? And people on almost all levels of the hierarchy. So it's really a fascinating thing to have had Saturn go through Pisces for that period of time. Also, we're starting to see some, the Neptunian quality, which is, can also be deceptive. We're starting to see Saturn come in and say, hey, Lord of Karma, it's time for us to address this. You know, Neptune and Pisces are famous for being the sign of the spies, because the Neptune Pisces can be a chameleon. You know, it can flow through different places and deceive people, and while they're at it, you know, pick up some info. So, I mean, that was one of the first things I ever heard about Pisces from my mentor so many, many decades ago now, is that, you know, when we're in the Piscean, you know, we have to be very aware because of that potential. That's one of the lower potentials of the fish swimming down. The higher potential, you know, would never dream of this, but this is what we're seeing now. The Lord of Karma is also upon us, and we're retrograding over some of the things that we were starting to focus on at the beginning of March. Okay, now if you are a Capricorn, and sometimes Aquarius, it still is given the old rulership of Aquarius, you will feel the Saturn retrograde before others do, in a sense, because it's a planetary ruler for your chart. So it sort of would be an indicator of you yourself in a reading, let's say. So it starts to slow down. You felt that already. It stops. And now it's moving backwards as we get to that moment on Father's Day. This is going to be also felt by all of us in the house that has Saturn as a ruler, which is the house that has Capricorn on the cusp. It will be a very big focus on going back over things that are associated with that house, right? So, and to a certain extent, Aquarius. Also, I mean, I don't know how strong that is, because I haven't really researched it myself and I haven't heard others speak about it. You know, now that we have the Uranian energy, which is so Aquarius, how does Saturn really fit here anymore? But there are people who will say yes, yes. So, you know, you might look at both of those houses and both of those signs as having this rulership and now retrograde. Of course, also the house where the transit is taking place in your birth chart is going to be showing where you are going back over. Also, it's like another way of seeing it. So we will find that if you have had planetary aspects that Saturn has been involved in, if you've had positive ones, if you've had negative ones, you get an opportunity to revisit. Now, I've always heard in my early training that the first time you receive the aspect, it's the time, unless you've had an astrology reading and someone's discussed it with you already, when it just seems to come out of the blue at you and you have no understanding of it. You can't really cope with it as well. When a retrograde comes, you already kind of know what's been going on with it, so you have a little bit of an easier time dealing with it. And when that aspect comes back again after the direct motion, it's usually a non-issue to the extent that it was in the beginning. It can be resolved, let's say. Now, I always tell people that when we're dealing with Saturn, if we're having a difficult time, that we have to sit quietly and ask Saturn to reveal the lesson that we have to learn, because that is Saturn's job. You know, Saturn is the schoolmaster. He's the one who's going to give you your grades, you know, like, did you pass or fail? So this is a lesson. Whenever you've got an obstacle which Saturn is presenting, or a no, or a difficulty, or a lowered energy level, depression, or, you know, what is it? Where is the resistance, and what is the lesson? So if you do that, and you ask, you become aware, there'll be an answer. And I always say, you won't like the answer, obviously, because it's something you haven't done yet, haven't seen yet. So it's not something you've engaged consciously and through your own personal will. But if you agree to take this lesson and pass it, I have found over and over again, the actual issue will reveal itself and make the whole thing easier. It will stop being as big of an obstacle. It will stop being as hard. Saturn is hard. You know, we are in the earth element, and Saturn is stone, and it's like these other materials, like iron and, you know, things like that. So it can be, you know, it's a structure, and we need that. You know, we've got bones in our body. That's our Saturn structure, right? So we need to have that. But again, you know, when it's difficult, it's hard. Things are hard. They feel harsh and hard. So wherever you are with this, that's where you are. And you can become aware. And if you need to get a reading, you can get one with me, and that will help you see it also. So, again, that's going to be with us for a while. We're getting closer to that full-on retrograde energy, because we've got Pluto retrograde now, and so Neptune joins Saturn also very shortly, not long after. So then we'll just be waiting for Jupiter and Uranus, you know, and we'll have that moment in time, a little bit of which Mercury will have a retrograde also in September for a bit of it. I think it might not quite make it into the Jupiter retrograde, for Venus is going to be in a retrograde cycle though, while a lot of these planets are retrograde. So this is just happens every year. People are going to get online and make it sound like it's the devastation you can't imagine. That's not true. You go through it every single year. It's just the way it is in terms of orbits. So we'll make it through, but we'll make it through easier when we're aware of what's happening and how it's influencing us. All right. So that's what I want to say about that. And now I will give you some good news about the week, Monday the 12th. We're in the fourth quarter going towards that new moon on Sunday. And moon is in Aries. And it starts the day trine Mars in Leo, 8:35 a.m. in the Eastern time zone. And this is very courageous. Well, you feel like you can handle it on Monday. You know, I can definitely do this, no problem. And you're ready. You're ready for some, you know, plans that have some fun in them and some entertainments too. And then we have a day where, except for the conjunction to Chiron and Aries at 7:15 p.m., when somebody may get their feelings hurt, if, you know, Moon and Aries can react very quickly and with anger and action. So you have to always be a little bit aware of that Moon in Aries. 7:15 p.m. is when it is exact. But the general planetary energy is the Moon in Aries, sextile Sun in Gemini. And that's all the way till almost midnight on Monday evening. So this is a very harmonious, opportunistic sextile, which can be a time for you to move forward in something before the too much of the lowered energy comes in. Make a connection, get some assistance, or, you know, just find out some information or share some information that you want people to have and to know about. After that, unfortunately, Moon in Aries will now be back to a square to Pluto in Capricorn. So that happens Tuesday the 13th until 2:27 p.m. on the Eastern Time Zone. And that's just a few minutes of that exact, but of course that's a very, as we know, challenging aspect where, you know, people are not in alignment with the powers that be, and it causes a lot of difficulty for the Aries moon if the Aries moon goes into anger and goes against, you know, the kind of energy that's in power. So be aware of that. People will be out there driving around, doing things, and, you know, we'll see things in the news. We know there's a famous thing happening, like, just a half hour from this aspect. We can hope that what happens is it calms down because the moon will enter Taurus at 2:31 p.m. So that pressurized energy of the moon in Aries square to Pluto in Capricorn is going to be over with very quickly. 3 minutes later, the peaceful fixed sign moon comes in, and the moon joins Jupiter in Taurus until 1:40 a.m. on Wednesday. So again, we can have the expansion. There can be a financial expansion. You know, there can be a good afternoon for those of us who can get out and be in nature. The only thing is to not go overboard because, you know, Jupiter conjunct the moon can do that. You know, it can spend too much, it can eat too much, especially in Taurus. You know, you may see property, but boy, it's, you know, pretty expensive. It's way over your budget kind of thing if you were looking for real estate, which is a Taurus thing. So just be aware of that. But our mood can be upbeat. You know, we may feel like we're more grounded and we feel better about things. And Saturn gets the sextil from the Taurus moon as it's slowing down to station retrograde until 3:36 a.m. on Wednesday the 14th. So that's maybe experienced in Pacific time or Mountain time. But after this, it's a difficult Wednesday because the moon in Taurus is going to square Venus in Leo at 5:08 a.m. and then move into the square to Mars until 5:15 p.m. So here we've got, you know, the idea of very different values, very different issues in terms of spending. And Taurus is going to, you know, be intractable, as it often is. And Mars in Leo is going to be, you know, a warrior for its own ideas. And so that can get pretty intense. Be not in the argument if you can help it. And if you're observing, observe from a distance is my best suggestion, because, you know, the fixed signs do not let go of their opinion, right? They don't compromise. Squares with other, you know, with this, you know, the mutables and even the cardinals can be a lot easier to deal with. Fixed signs are so certain they won't budge. But Moon is going to join Uranus in Taurus after 5:15 p.m. on Wednesday. That is the aspect coming in. And so we have the 4:55 a.m. Thursday morning exact. So here's where you might be. You might see people open to changes and to making these types of activities happen. But we may also be hearing about changes that are surprising and shocking for us, and they can involve the material world. And, of course, that can be finance, but it can also be the world. I mean, we are Uranus and Taurus, if you haven't noticed, started bringing us a lot of information about things that are not usual, happening in unusual ways. So if we have a rain, it's a lot of rain. If we have drought, it's a lot of no rain. You know, everything is a little bit off what it has been. You know, 37 feet of snow, you know, things are out of the normal. The changes that are going on the planet are real. And Uranus would like us to understand the energy level of our visions and our relationship to all of these things. How are we doing? I don't know. Some people are getting it, some people aren't. So we've got more to do. Mercury in Gemini is squaring Saturn at 12:09 p.m. So some of the news doesn't sound good. People might be afraid of things that they're hearing, that kind of thing. But the moon in Taurus is heading from that conjunction to Uranus to a sextile to Neptune in Pisces at 5:19 p.m. So we may have a more gentle energy coming in and creative. And if you're a spiritual practitioner, that is a very positive energy. That's like the Buddha. Buddha has Taurus energy and Pisces has spiritual energy. So you can do a combo there. You can feel compassion also and get some rest and relief from any of the stressors and stresses. Moon trine retrograde Pluto in Capricorn until 9:36 p.m. will be going back over some of the things that have happened or the government issues. You'll be hearing about those. Are they going to pass these things that they said they would do? You know, kind of thing. Other countries are also, I mean, I'm not as familiar with what's going on, but I know that, you know, Boris Johnson, I think, has resigned as his position in, you know, Parliament. He's had it. He's taken a walk. And it's interesting. If you look at his chart, there's a lot of Neptune involved with his Sun-Venus conjunct in Gemini. The Geminis are, you know, people who are having degrees of the mutable signs that are near the end of them are getting Neptune aspects galore. So, you know, we can see that. And we can see that people are trying to structure with some difficulties along the way. 9:36 p.m., that moon trine, Pluto retrograde in Capricorn is exact. 10 minutes later, 9:46 p.m., the moon enters Gemini, and the moon in Gemini is squaring Saturn in Pisces until 11:20 a.m. on Friday. So there it is again, this fearful energies, logic that doesn't want to listen to anything other than logic. This is a feature in the new moon, I will tell you. So 11:20 a.m. Friday, obstacles in communication, maybe weather issues stopping the, not the long distance, but the more local travel. But we get over this with the moon moving to join Mercury in Gemini at 3:12 p.m. Friday. Now, that's a time when you are with like mind and you're having your conversation and it's all going very well. But it's also a time when we believe we are our thoughts and our feelings and our thoughts are the same. So, but I think we get a nice little respite from any of the issues as Moon in Gemini moves forward to sextile Venus in Leo until 4:57 p.m. And this is definitely a time when words of love and, you know, flirtations and also just, you know, very nice energy for meeting up with others is taking place. Moon will move on from this. You'll mainly feel the Venus sextile, though, until it gets closer to the sextile to Mars in Leo, which is at 4:14 a.m. So that's still a sextile. And actually, Mercury is coming into sextile Venus, too, on Saturday morning. So we can have, again, good meetings, good times with others, particularly, even though we're coming into that new moon. And some people will be traveling for Father's Day to see their father, of course. And so, you know, we can see that if you kind of wait till after noon on Friday to do your travel, you'd be better off. Or Saturday morning, you'd be in good shape to make your trip. All right? But after we get past this sort of noon on Saturday, we're having 1:27 p.m. Saturn's retrograde. So some things are going to start churning back up. But the new moon is the next aspect for the Gemini moon, 26 degrees of Gemini when it is exact at 12:37 a.m. on Sunday. So what we're having here, again, I have given you a whole podcast, so I'm not going to go through it all. But I will tell you that it's pretty close to being square Neptune, because the moon goes on after this to square Neptune at 2:24 a.m. So there are issues with clarity, you know. And we are coming to that point where, again, every new moon we can set intentions. So the new moon intentions for Gemini are going to be about communication. They're going to be about classes and learning and information. They're going to be about short journeys and the family members that are siblings and aunts and uncles, and the neighbors, the neighborhoods. These are the kinds of energies that you may be looking at for things you want to set intentions for. But Neptune is there. So try to be realistic in your intention setting, if you can. Again, that comes in, new moon comes in 12:37 a.m. Sunday, the 18th. Moon square Neptune, 2:24 a.m. Sunday, the 18th. But the good news is it's void, of course, until 6:58 a.m. when the moon enters Cancer. And it sextiles Jupiter and Taurus until 8:45 p.m., then it trines Saturn retrograde in Pisces until 9 p.m. So for the most part, you have a wonderful day, energy-wise. Food, excellent. We've got Cancer and Taurus in sextile, Moon and Jupiter. Should be a wonderful time for, you know, enjoying the sensual aspects of life, enjoying family. And also, if you needed to start traveling home, that would have been kind of a good time. Like, you know, do the early experience, have the lunch or the early afternoon, and then, you know, hit the road while you have the sextile energy going on, if it's a drive that you're taking. That day, however, does have the Sun in Gemini going square Neptune. 11:54 p.m. is when that happens. So again, we started with the Moon square Neptune early morning, wee hours, and we end with Sun square Neptune. So again, over-idealization, maybe things aren't quite the way they seem. Just keep that in mind. And that's how we end. We also have coming the following week, after the new moon, we have one thing that's out of the norm to discuss, and that will be when the summer solstice, or I would say the midsummer solstice, arrives this year on the 21st at 10:58 a.m. Eastern Time. That's Wednesday. Sun enters Cancer. So that will be something we will discuss along with the rest of the weekly astrology forecast next time. So please listen to the new moon forecast. There's a lot of good information there for you. You can take advantage of that. And I will say goodbye for now.